Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Pipe Dummies. This is Jared starting the show. Logan's having a couple issues with the kid. Welcome to having kids, Logan. It's lots of fun. With me is my other smoking buddy with his, he knows what we're talking about kids over there, Ben Lee. How's it going tonight, Ben?
Doing all right. Glad to make it. I ate a soccer practice, ran over too, so I was glad I was able to make it myself.
That's all. My wife out of town and she took the kid with her, so I've had yesterday and today of house to me and two dogs, so
nice.
It's pretty easy.
Very nice.
Doesn't happen often.
Yeah, it didn't happen often here either. Well, tonight what we're doing is Dunhill ready to rubs. There it is right there.
Yeah, now, just pop this tin open.
This is actually a re-release. If it came out, was it last year, I believe it was, at IPCPR. Well, this year, actually, at IPCPR. It was originally released a while back. I'm not exactly sure. Let me look and see if they say when the original was came out. The original one was actually a mature, flute-cured leaf from USA, Brazil, and Africa. Was sun-cured and smoky-fired. Fire tobacco from Indonesia and India, pressed into Cavendish and topped with a subtle flavoring. That's what the older was. And I believe that was made by Murray. I'm not exactly sure when that was discontinued, but the new one is actually it's a lot different. It's actually predominantly Virginia with a Turkish Oriental leaf in it. And it's kind of confusing because you go to some places and it says there's no topping on it. Then you go to some places like Smoking Pipes and they say there's a fruity topping on it. Now, Jared, I don't know about you, but I could definitely detect a fruity topping on this thing.
Yeah, there's something on mine. And I was looking, too, when the release dates were of the re-release and the original. Because the date on mine would be May of 2014.
Yeah. That's about right. Because they were released, I think that's the very first 10s. Because they were, this is the new release from Dunhill for this year. Now, I don't know if you can see it on the camera, but you know, it's a ready to rub flaked, obviously, because it's called ready to rub. You can see it's a really nice, you know, ribbon. Fine ribbons there, but it's actually got it's got to have something on it, because to me I actually could feel a little bit of stickiness to it, which there's a lot of sugars in Virginias, you know, right. But this one, I mean, as soon as you open the tin you get hit with a nice like plummy raisiny date-ish type of aroma.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's almost even a white grape that I'm getting out of mine.
Yeah, it just says, like on Smoking Pipes, if you go to buy the tin there, it says that there is a fruity topping, but it doesn't say where it is. But like I said, what's weird, that all Tobacco Reviews, their other website that has all their tobacco reviews on it, it says there is no topping whatsoever on it. So, kind of confusing.
Right, and then I ran across a few people that said there's definitely no topping, and some say there is. And I'm like, well, I don't know if there is or not, but it's definitely a... There is a fruity topping aroma coming off this pretty heavy.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's my thing, too. I don't know exactly. I know Virginias can come off as kind of smelling raisiny, date-ish kind of flavor, you know? So, I mean, it could actually be like that, too. I don't know. But if there is a topping on this, it's very light. Like, you can smell it, but it's not strong like a normal aromatic would be anyway.
And it almost seems a little, like you were saying, like those little sticky. It's a little, yeah. It's pretty moist. Not over moist, but it's not dry like a lot of the non-aromatics I get.
I'm just now lighting mine up.
I'm about to do the same. I said I cracked the tin right as I was opening the show.
Hopefully Logan will join us later, because this one I was really looking forward to, because you know, as we've told our viewers, you and I don't mind aromatic tobaccos. I mean, you perform a lot more than I do, but I have no problem smoking aromatics. Where Logan is almost snobbish about it, where he won't even consider smoking an aromatic.
No, he doesn't touch the stuff.
Yeah, but when you think about it, for a cigar smoker, when you think of an aromatic cigar, you're usually thinking of that shitty tobacco. You know, like stuff that's been, you know, dipped in, you know, strawberry flavoring or cognac or something like that. You know, I'm not talking about like
tobacco and cover it up with flavor.
Yeah, I'm not talking about like the Drew Estate acid stuff like that. That basically, that's all premium tobacco, where they just kind of sit it and let the it just gets infused naturally. They don't dip that anything. I'm talking about like the shit that you find in like, you know, gas stations or drugstores, that kind of shit. So, I mean, I can see where as a cigar smoker, you get that, you know, the connotation of it being a shitty type of tobacco with aromatics, but in pipe tobaccos, that's far from the truth. I mean, you get a lot of, you do get some aromatics that got so much of that goopy shit that they put on there, you know, that it doesn't burn right, it gurgles real bad, it bites you, you know. But there's a lot more that are really, really, really good. And if you just ignore it, you're missing out on a whole awesome segment of pipe tobaccos. But I was kind of curious to how he'd react with this one compared to us, you know, but maybe he'll join us later.
He still could. He's just trying to get Callaway to go to sleep there, and he'll be a lot better. And yeah, if you want to make the people around you happy, that's definitely when you smoke an aromatic.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Nobody will ever complain with an aromatic around them. So it's a good crowd smoke. Keep everybody happy. You can tell it's a little moist. It took me a few times to get a nice good burn started here. But it looks like it's getting going now.
Yeah.
Starts off pretty nice too. I'm almost getting a little fruitiness.
Yeah, smoking it, my Suge. I haven't smoked it in this one yet. I actually bought this to smoke English out of, but for some reason, I've only been smoking Virginias. I don't know how that happened, but
I really have got to start buying some more pipes. I say that like I really actually need to, but kind of left out. You and Logan just keep buying pipes, and you got different ones, and I'm pretty much the same three pipes depending on what I'm smoking.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a little bit different just because, you know, I work from home. So, like this morning, I had two bowls of tobacco. So, you know, I don't try to smoke the same pipe in the same day. I like to let it, you know, cool off and get all the moisture content out of it and rest it and stuff. So, of course, I'm going to need a few more pipes, you know, but I'm kind of at the point where I don't really need any more either. But I'm kind of, you know, I wouldn't mind higher quality, you know, but I really don't need any more pipes either yet.
I wouldn't mind adding a few, having, you know, five or six total. That'd be more than I'd ever need, but just have some variety going on. Of course, all I got to do is buy some more bowls for my Drew Estate Suge, and that's one body and multiple pipes, and they all look good.
Yeah, but you could pretty much buy a whole brand new Savinelli for one of those bowls, can you?
No, I think the
$100-$150
bowls are fairly cheap.
Oh.
Well, I shouldn't say fairly cheap. That's all pretty relative. But I mean, compared to the $300 pipe, it's not too big. And I really like that pipe, so I kind of like to buy some more bowls for it.
Oh, yeah.
So we got a question. Although I pretty much know it, I'm going to let you hit this a little more. Shooter's asking, what is a ready rubbed?
Oh, basically, all that is a It was tobacco pressed into a cake, cut in flakes, and then it was just rubbed out. It's pre-rubbed. It's a pre-rubbed flake. Is all it is.
Nothing Instead of getting the pressed squares of tobacco, they pre-rub it out for you.
Right.
So pretty much, I mean, it just looks kind of looks like a bunch of pressed ribbons, really. By the time it's done.
Yeah, that's all it really is. I mean, like you would see, I wish I had a flake around here. I don't think I have
one. Actually, I've got one right here. I was smoking one last night and have it sitting right next to me.
Yeah, so.
Ready rub sounds real fancy, but really it just.
Yeah.
Trying to get
a good shot. There's a flake. And you can see, yeah, you can see it's actually kind of coming like I'm pointing at it like they can see me.
Yeah.
You can see where it's kind of like either splitting a little bit and it's like it's kind of cut, getting a little bit frayed on the edges or whatever. Based on it is, you know, there's two ways to smoke a flake.
That's kind of it. Just broken up into pieces there.
Yeah, that's it. Basically what you could do with a flake. You could do one of two things. You could actually take a flake and like, I wish I had some. Oh, here we go. Like this thing right here. Like you could basically take a flake like this. And what you do is you fold it in half like that. And then you can actually fold it. If it's still too big, you can fold it like this and put that down your pipe. What you want to do is kind of like fluff the ends of it because you'll see it start to split, which we'll I think we're going to be doing some flakes soon anyway. And you can just like fluff them. And basically you just put it in your pipe like a plug. But what I'd say probably 80% of people do is they just take it in their palm over a piece of paper and just rub it until it just comes out like ribbons, basically little ribbons. And you pack the pipe like you would any normal, you know, ribbon cut tobacco.
And then his other question was, what is in the ready rubbed? Which we can pull up here pretty easy. It's a Virginia-based.
Yeah, Virginia and Turkish Oriental tobaccos. That's kind of all they tell us. I don't know other than that what it's in there. Like I said, some sites say it has a fruity topping. Other ones say it doesn't have anything at all.
That's what's funny is I found that with a lot of different pipe tobaccos, different sites will tell you different things, especially when it comes to being aromatic or not, or toppings or not. I'm like, it's odd to me that you can have the debate over whether it has a topping or not. Seems like somebody would know.
What are you getting out of it so far?
Trying to place a few of these. I know right off the beginning I was getting I couldn't place it. It was a little bit of a sweet fruity note. Like a dark fruit, not light cherries or anything like that, but something deeper.
Yeah, I'm getting go ahead.
I was going to say a very, very light oriental, that little ting. It's very muted behind all the Virginias, though.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's interesting. It's interesting tobacco to me because, I mean, the main thing I get is I get that plumminess out of it. I'm sure it's probably, if there's a topping on it, it's a plum topping because of what it smells like. But it has a nice sweetness to it. It has a floral aspect to it. I'm thinking that's coming from the Turkish tobacco, the Oriental tobacco.
I get that a lot on the retrohale. I'm not getting it up front, but on a retro, I got a little more floral note to it.
Yeah. I mean, there's just that nice, like a. There's almost like it's something. I want to say like a caramel sweetness, but it's not that strong. It's not like. It's like a buttery kind of sweetness, kind of like a caramel, but it's not as strong as caramel. I really don't know how to actually describe that like I want to.
I Yeah, I think I can tell what you're getting, but I can't pin a description to it at the moment.
Yeah, it's just... Yeah, it's actually pretty tasty. You know, it kind of reminds me like of like a plum cake almost. Like if you basically just made a plum cake and just, it's going to sound weird, but like rolled it in some flowers or something, you know. It's kind of got that, or you was eating a plum cake. Yeah, like a bread. Yeah, it's a bready. It's bready, sweet, plummy, but it's got the floralness to it. It's almost like you were eating plum cake surrounded by bouquets of flowers or something.
Right.
You know,
eating a plum cake in a orchard.
Yeah. I mean, I find it damn tasty. I mean,
I didn't want to jump right into it, but yeah, that's kind of where I'm at right now. This is some really good tobacco, which is good because I've had so many lately where I just kind of, I could smoke it. Some are okay, but it's nice to hit one that just all of a sudden hits you just right. And I could see having a few of these. And we got another question from Shooter over here. He says, now, is Burley Oriental?
No, Burley is not Oriental. It's just it's its own type of tobacco. Burley is actually one of the main, if I remember right, it's a main component like cigarette tobacco, like, you know, where they put in that. But Burley is kind of like has the nuttiness, like a nutty flavor to it.
Yeah, that's it. Burley's nutty. I'm trying to think of which flavor came out of that one.
Yeah, I mean, I love Burley in my blends, to be honest. But sometimes you'll if you're smoking in a room with people, sometimes some people will say, well, it smells kind of cigarette when you're smoking it. And that's Burley because Burley's a lot of time it's what's in a cigarette.
Right. Yeah, that is what it says. It's primarily used for cigarette productions.
But it adds a nice little, you know, flavor component also to pipe tobaccos that I enjoy, you know. It's kind of like Cabernet. It's just really an accent tobacco. It's not like a main tobacco or nothing, but it does add a nice little nuttiness to any kind of blend. I got a little bit of gurgle, so I'm putting a pipe cleaner in there.
It's a light air-cured tobacco, apparently. In the United States, 70% of it's grown in Kentucky, so it's...
Yeah. And also... I know General Cigars grows a little bit in the Dominican Republic because I saw it there. I was getting a little bit hot. I just got to slow down a minute.
Yeah, I'm trying to watch it because I know it's one, I usually go a little quick, and two, I'm liking this one, so I'm picking up speed if I don't watch it. Didn't have any gurgle, any too much heat yet, but I know the thing's going out of Virginia, so I got to watch it.
Yeah, that's my thing. I usually get a pretty good bite with Virginia sometimes because I seem to smoke Virginias too fast, but just because usually they're sweet and they're kind of lighter bodied, so you don't kind of realize you're smoking them too fast. Or like I take forever smoking most English, especially with a heavy lot of key in it. I smoke English playing pretty slow, but Virginias, I puff away. Because, like I said, both Virginias are really sweet.
Right.
Sweet and hay-like flavor, a little bit raisiny. So, you know, you go kind of hard at them sometimes.
Yeah, that's the problem. It makes you smoke faster, but it's a double-edged sword because you also is one of the ones you need to smoke slower.
Yeah, because if you smoke Virginias too fast, it will definitely give you tongue bite. No doubt.
And so here's an interesting thing, kind of along the lines of what we were talking about earlier. People can't get their facts in line. And Shooter brought this to my attention, which is why he was asking if on where we're checking, most of tobacco reviews or smoking pipes, you know, that's where I tend to go. It calls this Virginia-based with Oriental, Turkish Oriental, and Virginias. If you go to Pipes and Cigars, they say this is a Burley in Virginia.
Yeah, it's just weird.
But then they do say it starts out sweet Virginias and fragrant Orientals. And they say it's lightly imbued with a soft fruit essence. So there they call it out.
I personally believe that there's a light fruit essence on there. And I definitely don't mind it because it is tasty. But, I mean, yeah. It's not... I've smoked it in my Suge pipe that it's, you know, it's, this is not my aromatic pipe. But to me, it's one that has just a light, just it's kind of like GL Pizza's Virginia Cream. It has a little topping on it, but it's very, very light. So I don't mind smoking that in a dedicated Virginia pipe because it's not going to ghost anything, you know. So yeah, I'm not too worried about it.
You say casing and topping, and some people automatically think, oh, it's like drinking Kool-Aid. You can't pick it up in that way. This just adds a little sweetness to it. This isn't like a Logan's Boone's Farm. We're not drinking a heavily cased tobacco here.
He calls everything that's maybe slightly could be almost aromatic Boone's Farm.
Yeah, Logan became a pipe snob real quick. His words.
Yeah. There might be a slight interruption. Hold on a second here.
Slight little pause.
Yeah, I switched to my 5 gigahertz Wi-Fi band because you were getting choppy. I don't know if it was on my end or your end, but I didn't take the chance. I just switched.
Yeah, see, sometimes it's mine. I'm in the middle of town. I have a good AT&T fiber optic U-verse connection, and I'll even run the test and it's fairly quick, but it'll still get choppy on videos, and it really shouldn't. Not in a brand new neighborhood. All my lines are brand new also. Like, all the lines are less than a year old out here.
You have everything configured right on your router? Is quality of service enabled or anything like that?
I just have it going through the wireless AT&T U-verse router that came with it. I haven't honestly messed with anything.
They might have that enabled, so it could be, what's the fucking word I'm looking for? It could be just like cutting down your video streaming or whatever. Throttling, that's what I'm thinking of. Yeah. They might be throttling your multimedia streaming or something.
Yeah, I should log into the IP on it and take a look at it.
They just made me upgrade to 150 meg download, so I should have no problem on this. Yeah, I found out how much Netflix eats up in your bandwidth. Because I have cable internet here, and they don't really have a cap, but they ask you to stay within under 300 gigs a month. I thought, that's no problem. Well, then I got a warning message saying, hey, you went over it. Please don't go over it again. Because after three times, they force you to either upgrade your package or they cut you off.
Mm-hmm.
Got my third one. I'm like, okay, what the hell, man? Because I was in Houston most of the time. So how could I have been over? And I said, oh, well, see, on this day, you know, you use 82 gigs in one day. I'm like, how the hell did I do that? And I went, oh, I bet it's Netflix. As soon as I thought that, the lady on the line said, well, do you have Netflix? I'm like, yeah. She said, you might want to go, you know, turn down the quality that you stream it at. I said, oh, okay, let me go check that out. Because I thought, yeah, that's the weekend my wife came back home for drill for the Navy. Mm-hmm. And she was watching her show on Netflix the same time. My son, he loves Netflix. He's always watching Netflix. So, yeah, I was getting double whammy with Netflix. So I go look at it, and sure enough, it's on Ultra HD. Anywhere from 3 to 7 gigs per hour. So I was doing that times two. So I was like, no freaking wonder. So I just stared down the standard definition which my son's not going to notice, and I can deal with it when I'm streaming. And it's 0.7 gigs per hour.
Man.
Huge difference.
Yeah, I don't have any data limits of any type on this. You know, the fiber optic in town. It's one of the nice things about it. But I need to up my speed, honestly, now that I do all these videos.
Yeah, it definitely is a big one. You know, when I do videos for a Stoker View, or you know, we upload everything now to YouTube for streaming on the site. You know, upgrading my internet was awesome, because whenever, you know, I used to try to keep my video review, my cigar reviews between anywhere from 8 to 12 minutes. Usually 10 is my point. If I nail 10, I'm great. 10 or under. But 12, when I get there, I'm like, okay, I got to shut up and turn it off. But that's like around 800 megs, 800 to 1.2, you know, gigs or whatever. So what I try to do is I run it into a compressor and knock it down to like 400 meg or so. So, I mean, if I got a faster internet, that makes that upload so much quicker.
Oh, yeah. Upload speeds are huge difference when you shut down that side of it.
Yeah.
A lot more expensive as well.
Yeah, I think I went from 3 to 7 meg upload per second. I have to admit, this really was the biggest surprise tobacco so far that Dunhill sent us. I mean, I don't know what I was expecting, you know, but.
Yeah, I can't give an expectation other than I didn't expect to like it this much.
Yeah. Actually, I'm going to hold that thought to the end of the video, because that was almost a, an outro.
Yeah. But we are only not even halfway through a bowl. At least I'm not. So a lot can happen.
Yeah, that's true. Because what was the one we were having the other day? Oh, the Elizabethan mixture. The first part of it was okay. The middle, the big chunk, most of the middle of the bowl was outstanding. But then when you got to the lower bottom part, I'd say the last quarter of the bowl, it got kind of funky. So.
Yeah, and we all had that same general consensus on that one.
Yeah.
So that helps, because it wasn't just the way we individually packed it. It was just something the way that tobacco burns.
Yeah, and it's still one. I need to get a bigger pipe, like a bigger bowl, that I want to try that in and see if that doesn't help. So, because I was smoking it in that Moonshine Pipe Company. It's their Devil Anise, and it's got a small bowl. And that's all I smoked it in was that one right there. So, because I'm dedicated down to just Virginias. I mean, to call the Devil Anise, that's like, you know, the half little McCoy's, kind of Americana. I figured I should just dedicate it to Virginias. So, kind of weird, but I want to try one of my bigger, bold Virginias in that. Because, I mean, I thoroughly enjoy it. Like, I always want to have it around. It's one of my favorite vapors. But I wonder how much better it would be if I had a bigger bowl. So, you know, I also got a Country Gentleman Missouri Meerschaum pipe. It's pretty big. And I kind of want to try it in it, too. I think it'd be fantastic in that one. So we'll see how that goes.
If the ratio holds true that the middle part of the pipe is the best, then a bigger bowl should hold true that you get more smoke time on the best part of the tobacco.
In theory.
Yeah, if it holds up true.
Yeah.
It might just offset to the same percentages, just more of each. Longer at the top and bottom, and the same in the middle.
You know, one thing I just realized I was making that's making this hot for me is this one doesn't put out a whole lot of smoke. It's just a little bit of smoke. But if you really puff on it, you can actually get a lot of smoke out of it. But of course, when you do that, it gets hot as hell. So,
it's pretty light on my side too. Unless I rage on it for a few puffs real quick, then it'll start getting pretty dark. But
which is
bowl heats up.
Oh, mine is too. Mine's getting a little bit hard to hold. But that's, you know, we don't want to rage on it because it's exactly opposite of what you want to do, you know. But like I said, I had an old timer tell me one time, you know, if you tell, if your bowl's getting too hot, put it near your cheek, and if you can't hold it there for 5 seconds, then it's too hot. So
yeah, mine.
I'm good.
Yeah, mine's nowhere near that hot. It's warm, but when I start giving it a few good puffs to get that smoke going, it gets way too hot.
Yeah, I've noticed that the Dunhill Virginias, they seem to smoke hot for me. I don't know why that is. It could be that I, you know, the way I smoke them.
Then I got to watch it, otherwise it goes out on me like that, which kind of surprised.
Yeah, I'm having a little bit of issues with that too.
Smoke is thick when you light it, though.
Yeah. Yeah, when you, I tell you, when you do, you know, if anybody out there, they want to smoke this, you definitely want to smoke it slow, too, because I've noticed when I'm really puffing on, like you said, I'm raging on the pipe, it gets bitter. I get a kind of a little nasty bitterness, you know, out of it. But if I stop and let it rest a little bit, go back to getting cool, it's back to being the way I want it, the nice plummy cake floralness about it.
Yeah, I was just doing it to get a little hot on purpose, and it, mine doesn't change to a bitter. It's like a much sharper version of what it is when you smoke the right level. It's not as sweet. The Oriental seem to pick up, and it gets, I guess sharp's probably the best word you can use to describe it.
Yeah.
I mean, you just got to find the nice, perfect cadence between keeping it lit and heating it up.
Yeah. And I say I'm loving the flavor, so it's like I don't want to set it down. I just want to keep puffing on it and burn a hole through my briar, my pipe.
Yeah, something I got to get used to with a cigar if I'm loving it. Yeah, you can't just hotbox the thing, but you can keep a fairly steady rate on it without hurting it.
Yeah.
For most cigars.
Yeah, the pipes, you definitely have to get them much slower, you know. But I'm a real slow pipe smoker anyway. So, I mean, a cigar smoker.
I tend to be also. They take me forever to smoke anything.
Yeah.
Like, anywhere from a petite Corona takes me an hour and a half. It's like, what? It's like, sorry. Not a 45-minute smoke for me.
No, I could say it's not exactly an hour and a half for me, but it's probably 45 minutes at least.
You see, I'll get a cigar. Everybody says it's about a 45, 50-minute smoke. It'll take me an hour 20.
Oh, it's definitely longer. Like a Robusto, I'm over an hour. I'm at least an hour 15 minutes on a Robusto. Most people smoke those in 45 minutes to an hour easy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Robusto's a good hour and a half for me.
Mm-hmm.
Toro's and up, you give me 2 hours because that's how long it's going to take me to get through that thing.
Yeah, Toro, I'm about at least an hour and a half. And I actually prefer the Toro. It's probably one of my favorite sizes. And, you know, the Americanized cigar lines. You know, I prefer a Corona Gorda Lonsdale or a Corona. But you know, most cigar companies that we have, you know, producing cigars for us, it's, you know, it's rare to see any of those sizes. So if I add the normal stuff, which is usually Robusto, Churchill, Toro, Torpedo, you know, I mean, I want Toro. That's what I prefer.
I'm a big Torpedo fan. Something about that Vitola, I just like the shapes.
Mm-hmm.
Figurados, Torpedos, I'll pick those up every time.
I usually just gravitate towards the Toro. And it's because something, it's something that I, you know, Hinky Kellner from Davidoff had always said, you know, you want to really try the essence of a blend, smoke a Toro, because that's what they, from what I understand, that's what they use at Davidoff to test blends, because it's a good ratio between wrapper, binder, and filler. You know, it's kind of evened out. You know, one's not overshadowing the other one or whatever. So I should always try that, even though it's kind of hard if I see one that does have a Corona. you know, or a, especially a Corona Gorda, I immediately grab that. But it makes sense.
Corona is a great size. If you ever start smoking some 1502s, you still got to try that. The Ruby and a Corona Gorda.
Yeah.
That thing's ridiculously good.
I haven't done that yet. Do you get a room note with this at all? I mean, I know it's hard for us to smell it because we're sitting in the smoke and we're tasting it, but, you know.
You say that I get a what now?
The room note.
Sometimes I can, but right now I'm not noticing anything particular.
Sometimes when the smoke kind of wafts past me, it smells kind of funky. Nobody, that ain't me.
Now make sure it's not yourself wafting past yourself.
Mm-mm. It's just like a musty smell to it. It kind of smells like musty fruit. So, but you know what? For me, the flavor is absolutely consistent. Like, to me, it hadn't really changed too much.
I'm glad it's not just me, because I was sitting there saying, you know, I'm waiting to add some more tasting notes, which, not that I need them, but I feel like we should have a little more to say about it. But I'm kind of sitting in the same spot. As long as I keep a steady rate of puff, my flavors stay right around the same.
Yeah, I'm not, the flavors to me have not changed in the least. And I don't care, because I liked it the way it was anyway.
Exactly. Not always a bad thing that the flavors don't change, in my opinion. Some people do not like it, but sometimes no. It's exactly what I'm looking for.
You've been on Cigar Safari, haven't you? You've been down there.
Yes. Yeah, I went earlier this year.
Well, you know, when you ride the Drew Estate bus from Managua up to Esteli, with that on a US-1, it's a long fucking drive.
Oh, that is a horrible ride.
Well, JD was with us one of the times. I think it was either the first or second time I went down there. And he had handed us all these blends. And they had like a little white label on them. And they just said, like, you know, Ecuadorian Kappa, Mexican Kappa, and with some numbers below it and all that. It says, here, I want y'all to try these and tell me what you think, you know, because, you know, this is, you know, just some kind of experiment that we're messing with. Nothing. It's a big, but I kind of want y'all's opinion. Then we're smoking them or whatever, and I can't remember which one it was, but I was smoking it. I'm thinking it was Ecuadorian or the Mexican. It was three of them. I can't remember what the third one was, though, but I remember it never changed, and they were all in Corona format. But this cigar never changed from the beginning all the way to the end. And I don't nub cigars. I leave at least probably an inch on a normal cigar, or maybe a little bit less,
right?
Because it just gets funky anyway. I don't want to deal with that. So, and I pretty much nub the crap out of this thing, but it never changed. Some of the people they were like, you know, we say, what do you think? What do you think of it? It's like, well, it's not very complex, you know. I don't know about that. I kind of don't like that. It's not very complex. And he's like, well, yeah, it's true, blah, blah. Kidding me. It's like, well, Ben, what do you think? I said, yeah, it's not complex, but I don't give a shit. He's like, well, what do you mean? I said, the flavors were freaking awesome. I love the flavors of the cigar. If I love the flavors, why do I want it to change? I mean, I loved it. So I'm not going to think, oh, this is shitty because these flavors I love lasted the entire length of the cigar. That's stupid, you know? I mean, complexity is nice. It's nice to have a little change or whatever, give you something to think about or whatever. But if you really love the flavors from the get-go and they don't change, I don't see what the big damn deal is, you know? So,
I've had a few cigars where you like the first third is just best cigar you've ever smoked. The second third is, well, I don't care for this too much. But the final third, you just want to put it down. You're like, this is just no good. You just want to smoke the first third of all those cigars because it's the only part I liked.
Well, it's like, okay, the Joya de Nicaragua Cabinet, the Cabinetta, it has, you know, has the Ecuador and Connecticut in the beginning of it, and then it goes into Maduro at the back end of it. I can't stand that cigar in the beginning. I don't like it at all. But when it hits that Maduro, holy shit, I love that cigar. That Maduro half is freaking awesome. So I just kind of, when I get one of those, like I think they're discontinued. I mean, I don't think they make them anymore anyway. But, you know, if somebody gives me one or I get come across one really cheap or whatever, I'll buy one and I just kind of burn through the freaking Connecticut half of it. I'm like, fuck. And just to get to that Maduro, you know, because that Maduro was so tasty. So that was kind of backwards, you know, from normal. But I know exactly what you mean.
The Cabernet of number 4, isn't that same thing or?
I believe so. Can't remember what else.
I mean, as far as I know, they still make that one. I mean, I got some down in Nicaragua when we went to the factory. And that was actually, I'd seen them before, heard a lot about them, and never smoked one. Had one down there, and I'm not the opposite. But I love that cigar start to finish. If you're looking for a milder cigar, you know, it's pretty mild, but for its purpose, I thought it was pretty damn good.
Yeah, I'm kind of hard on them. I'm kind of hard on Connecticut's anyway, but because usually to me Connecticut's are absolutely freaking boring. You know, they just they're woody, and that's about it. Woody and that, you know, not much to them. Now when they got a nice creaminess to them and a little bit of sweetness, that's the kind that I like. You know, like the new Undercrown Shade or the CLE Connecticut, which is freaking is my, one of my benchmarks, the CLE Connecticut, or EP Korea New Wave Connecticut. Those are my three that I love so much. You know, and like, what's good?
Go ahead. Any of your thought, I'll add on to it when you're done.
One that I absolutely detested for the longest time was the Oliva Reserve Connecticut. Didn't like it in the least bit. I wouldn't even take a free one, you know? It's just personal preference. It's not that it's a bad stick. It's just not, I don't like the flavor profile of it. We had one of the, our reps that used to be in our area, Alan Bolivis. I'll never forget him. He's an awesome guy. He now reps out in Tampa. He's like, man, you should try the Double Toro. I'm like, dude, why would the hell would I smoke one of your lines that I don't like in a 6x60 size, which I detest that size every ounce of my being that I hate that size. And it's like, I'm telling you, man, you should try that side. The whole day he was on my ass at the cigar shop. I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. Fine. I'll go get one just to shut the fuck up. So I go get one of them and I smoke it. Man, that damn thing was out of this world. Super, super creamy and sweet. And none of the others to me are like that. I get none of that out of all the rest of them except for that one. So that's just weird how that it's kind of sort of tell people about Vitolas. Like if you try one Vitola, you don't really like it, try another one. Because there's usually a sweet spot somewhere in there that you might actually like that you might not even like the other ones, you know. And that was the big eye opener to me, but I could not believe I liked it. And that's the only one I like in that Oliva Connecticut, Reserve Connecticut, is that bigger 6x60. Which I still don't smoke it because it's a 6x60. I won't smoke it.
Those are tough to smoke. There are some that I find I enjoy, but it's not often you'll see me reach for that size at all. But Connecticut-wise, in the beginning, I was not a Connecticut guy. I had quite a few, didn't care for them. First one I started liking was the AKA Solace. That was a good Connecticut, got me going. The Undercrown Shade is a good Connecticut. But my go-to's the Nomad Connecticut Forte and the Crossfire Connecticut. Those two I go for pretty fast.
I know that one. So have you had one of the CLE Connecticuts? Oh,
I have not.
It's a lot like the Shade. If you like the Shade, you'll definitely like it. It's a Connecticut with balls to it. It's like a medium-bodied Connecticut that's creamy and sweet and a little bit woody, a little bit spice. It's really good. Check that one out next time.
I have to try one. And the the Oval Connecticut.
I didn't like that.
Really?
I love the Oval, the regular Oval, but I didn't like the Connecticut.
Have you tried the Connecticut in just the standard sizes?
Didn't like it.
Man, I got, like that one.
I got a love-hate relationship with AJ Fernandez stuff. Most of it I'm not a big fan of. I love the freaking oval. Loved it, but most of the rest of the stuff I'm not a fan of. It's just not for me. I mean, I know it's huge and a lot of people love it, but it's just not for me. I never really caught on any of that stuff.
Connecticut's have become a much more standard for me than they used to be in the mornings. You know, that's about the time I smoke Connecticut, but I do like them in the mornings.
Yeah, I do too, with my coffee.
Yeah, actually, with my wife being out of town, she took the car because right now I just have that one car because I really don't need two.
Yeah.
And instead of bothering anybody to get a ride to work, I decided just to walk this morning. And, because everybody thinks I'm nuts. It's like, it's a 3-mile walk. It's really not much. I mean, yeah, it takes an hour, but it's 55, 56 degrees in the morning here right now, which is perfect. You know, just enough to make your fingers a little cold, but you won't sweat. You don't feel uncomfortable at all. A light pullover, made a cup of coffee, got a Connecticut Fuerte, walked to work. Started at my house.
Awesome.
Nubbed it by the time I got to the office. I mean, I was like, man, I might start walking to work every day. That was one of the best. Well, every day from about December to February when it's cold enough for me to walk in the mornings without being a drenched pile of sweat.
Yeah.
But man, that was great. I just put in my headphones, turned on the, pulled up my radio station from Houston that I listened to and just walked. Best morning I had in a long time.
That's what I do, but it's a great workout anyway.
Yeah, I burned about 300 calories almost on that walk going to my watch, which is pretty damn good. So, since we've been off topic for a minute, and we're probably both getting closer to the bottom, but we're getting close to an hour here, too. I guess we started a little late, so we're about 12, 13 minutes from the end, but I don't think Logan's going to make it in here, so we'll throw in some, start getting some finishing thoughts on this. Ready, rubbed.
Yeah, I really wish Logan went in here because I don't know if he would have smoked this unless he had to come on the show because he's such a snob about tobacco. Yeah, I don't know if he has smoked this yet.
I haven't heard if he has. I'm going to ask him, see if he's sitting there. We can get a commentary from the side here.
You need to, next time you have to go over to his house and do any of his little chores he has you do. You should say, okay, yeah, we're gonna smoke some Ready Rub before we do it. That way, you'll have visual verification that he actually smoked it.
I guess that depends too on where he looked up any details. If he did, if he looked up and it said non-aromatic, no toppings, he probably wouldn't have a problem lighting it up.
No, he thinks it's aromatic. I know that for a fact.
Oh, okay. All right, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's why I said he said something about. You know, we all had, you know, a few weeks back, we all had really bad conflicting schedules. We thought we wouldn't be able to do some of the shows. Actually, we had to skip one show. And he's like, well, we can move back, you know, one of them. Like, I was going to be out for Thanksgiving. I wouldn't be able to do it for Thanksgiving at all because I was going to be in Houston with no way to actually, you know, get on the air for that. So it's like, well, you know, we can, you know, smoke Ready Rub that week and, because the week I was going to be out was it was early morning pipe, which my tin's missing. Anyway, and I was like, oh, man, I hate it. I'm going to miss that because that's been one of my staples since I first started smoking pipes. So he's like, okay, well, you know, we could just, you know, move it and, you know, we could skip Ready Rub. I'm like, no, I think Jared's going to need my help on that one whenever we start talking about this because I know you're not going to give it too high praise just because of what it is. So, yeah, you're right. You're probably right.
So yeah, I remember that now.
Yeah.
I need a little backup on the Boone's Farm tobaccos.
Which, to me, this is so far from Boone's Farm tobacco.
Oh, yeah.
It's not even remotely close.
I can smell the topping. I can lightly get the topping while I'm smoking it. But mainly, I can tell this is Virginia with some Orientals. And that's mainly what I get out of it. So, I mean.
Yeah. And like, you know, now that I'm at the very bottom, this has changed slightly. I really don't get any of the fruit stuff anymore. I get nothing but hay-like flavors of the Virginia. It's a little sweet, and it's still flowery with the Oreos. I don't get any of the plumminess or nothing like that anymore.
No, I'm pretty much down to a mellow Virginia with the slight Orientals. I mean, yep. It's pretty much straightforward tobacco now.
I mean, which I'm fine with.
No issues. Oh, yeah. No. It's great.
I mean, I preferred what we had before, but now to me, it's just like a standard Virginia with Oriental tobacco in it.
Now, you can't go wrong with this stuff in my book right now. Mm. So I guess that'll take us to the last little part of what you're going to score this thing.
Oh, this is an easy 4 for me. I could smoke this every day. You know, it's not a Holy Grail 5. But I thoroughly enjoy this. I definitely will stockpile this, and it's one I could smoke every single day and not get tired of it. So it's a definite 4 for me. What about you?
This is one time I think I'm going to have to go right there with you. This stuff, yeah, it's not absolute top, which is not to say anything bad, but this will definitely have to be a 4 and keep this in the rotation.
Yeah. This is one that I will always have around. I definitely want to always have this one around for sure.
Yeah, I could say when I walk in here, and I've showed this big old cabinet full of tobaccos I got now. This is something that's like, I don't need it a review. I need something to smoke. If I saw this tin, I would reach for it, you know, up in the top 4 of what I tend to smoke.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've actually been smoking a lot of new stuff too. And I mean, it's, tell you what, man, I've got some really stellar shit now. I mean, stuff I really need to stockpile, but this is right there with the rest of that stuff too. You know, I mean, it's one of the best Virginias I've got. I'd say that for a fact. You know, I don't know. I'm trying to think of my other Virginias I smoke a lot of, and they're all about tied. I don't know if I'd take one or the other right now, to be honest. I mean, it's right up there with all the other Virginias I've got. What I was going to say earlier, what I said, my expectations on this tobacco. Whenever I went online and read about this tobacco, you know, before, you know, General Cigar graciously donated, you know, these tins for us to review, which, thank you, Victoria. I really appreciate you sending this stuff to us. The reviews were both bad and good. No middle road. And then some places will say, oh, well, it's an aromatic. It's not aromatic, you know. And so I was kind of like, man, I don't know if I'm going to like this or not. You know, it's kind of like, well, I will try this last. I don't know if I'm going to like it or not, you know. And maybe that's why I love it so much, because I did have kind of not low expectations, but I was kind of like, well, I'm not really sure if I'm going to like that or not. I don't know what I'm going to, you know, I don't know about that. It's phenomenal. I like it a lot. I love smoking this tobacco, really do. You know, great flavor. And if it does have a fruity topping on it, fine. It's delicious. Whatever they put on it, it's delicious. And it's not enough to where I think it would mess a pipe up. It goes to pipe. And I when you look at the tobacco, you can't even really see anything on it. I mean, it's got a little bit of stickiness to it, but hell, when you get some Virginias, they got natural sugar. They have a high sugar content anyway.
Right, right.
So they're always a little bit sticky anyway. So I don't know. It's phenomenal. That's all I know right now.
Oh, yeah. I'm hitting the – jeez. I'm actually smoking this slow like I'm supposed to. I'm probably just a little down past half of this bowl. And it's changing up on me just a little bit from that being straight Virginia and Oriental to a – it's almost like that fruitiness is coming back. And I'm noticing that I'm actually smelling the room now, note now. And it's what I'm getting is quite pleasant.
Yeah, I was wondering, like I got twice, I could, when the smoke went by me, it smelled musty. But I was thinking too, that's when I was puffing hard on that, which gets kind of, you know, harsher when you smoke it really fast, right. Really hot.
Burns hot.
So that could be what that was from, actually. But I don't know. I can't really smell it on my own because I'm smoking the tobacco and I'm tasting it. So I don't know what I was smelling. So I don't know. I'll find out later. Get some friends over to Man Cave. We'll see what they pick up or whatever. But I think it's an awesome, awesome Dunhill.
I'm with you. This best one I've had yet.
Yeah. I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I really thought the Elizabethan mixture would actually knock it out of the park for me. But I like this Virginia over the Elizabethan mixture. And that has Perique in it, which I love Perique. So it's baffling to me. Like, it's opposite of what I was expecting. But maybe that's why it's so good. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I can't complain. That good night of smoking when you find something new this high up on your list.
Yeah. So, like I said, I've always had early morning pipe, my mixture 965, and nightcap is usually always in my rotation, constantly. But they're all English. Those are all English. So,
and you can get most of those in bulk, can't you? Get all of those?
All three of those in bulk, you know? So, there's several knockoffs of all these Dunhills too, but there's not a knockoff of this anywhere. So that's definitely one to get. Like, you know, I think it's maybe it's next week. I don't know. But, you know, we have early morning pipe, which you can't see that at all on there.
There we go.
Yeah. This one right here, this is actually, I think this is the very first pipe tobacco I ever had was this. So this kind of has a little soft spot in the heart, which I guess we're foreshadowing our next review or whatever it is. But I think it's McClellan. They make a knockoff of that called AM Pipe, you know, early morning pipe. It's AM Pipe. And it tastes pretty damn fabulous, too. It's close, but it's just different enough where you could actually have both of them. But it'd be kind of interesting to see if anybody did a knockoff of this stuff. But I don't care. I'm happy with buying the original and just constantly smoking this. No, I'm definitely gonna stockpile and age several tins of this because I'm curious to how this will age. I bet it would be amazing. I don't know, we'll see.
That's almost putting it at a five then, because a five technically is by enough to smoke and enough to age.
Yeah, but to me, man, a five, it would be one of those like, with this, if you could only smoke one tobacco for the rest of your life, is this the one of the ones you would choose? Would you choose this? I don't know if to me, a five is a spectacular, absolutely amazing pipe tobacco. So far, Bulk of Sobrani, it hit a five. It definitely hit a five.
Now, there's some also when you need to stockpile it, because when you can find it, you better buy it.
Oh, I'm trying. Every day, every freaking day, I look online and try to find it. You know, I have a one pipe shop that's in Birmingham, Alabama, called the Briary, and it's an amazing, amazing pipe shop. And a guy named Skip Elliott runs that. He makes his own pipes, and they're absolutely gorgeous. And I get an email from them. You know, say like, hey, Bulk and Sobrani is in stock, and we got a little bit of Esoterica stuff. Usually they come together. I'm like, holy shit, because that's the two things I'm always trying to find. Swear to God, as soon as I get that, I get on the phone, I'm calling them up, because you can't get it online. They don't put it out online because it doesn't last long enough. As soon as I call, oh, it's gone. It's already sold out of it. I'm like, son of a bitch. But as soon as I get that email, I immediately hit every place I know online to see if I can find it online too. So far, I've only been able to score two tens of that, but I'll keep on searching. So we'll see. But yeah, this could be a five, and it might eventually become a five. But right now, I'm just going to stick with a four. Now we've got some fives of mine coming up, I think. So more foreshadowing of that.
The next one, before I just bet the end thing, but I'll do it now so I don't forget. Next Tuesday, the 15th is the Seattle Pipe Club Potlatch.
Ooh. Nice.
So that's where we're headed in a week. Hopefully Logan should be. Callaway can get over her little sickness here and we can have the threesome back together again.
That is not right either.
Well, neither did talking about ready rubbed and having it rubbed out for you. So I figured we started on some pretty bad notes. We really want to be that way, and we'll end on one too.
Good point. Yeah. See, I'm looking forward to a potlatch because I've heard a lot of really good things. I haven't tried it yet myself, even though I did buy 10. It's sitting over here too, but I haven't opened it because we got some samples from Logan. But I love Mississippi River a lot. And what everybody's been saying, any of the Seattle Pipe Club stuff has been home runs, every single one of them. So I'm really looking forward to next week's show for that too. So it'll be awesome. So y'all definitely join us next week. I'll be interested.
I got one more thing and we'll let y'all go. We do have 5 tins of the Dunhill Ready Rub that we just smoked, and we both tossed a 4 out there quite solidly. So I know there's a few people watching this that would like to grab a 10 and see for themselves. So
yeah,
I'm still going to email Logan@CigarFederation.com, just like always. First 5 emails get a 10. So same rules. Subject line, put ready rubbed. Give him your name and address. And I'm just making this up on the fly here. Give him, since he's having to try and get a sick and not so happy child to bed, and since not everybody has a kid and has a way, if you have a kid and you've got a good method for getting a rowdy, sick, or just unwilling child to bed, give him that. If not, give him something kind of funny, make him laugh. He has no idea what I'm asking for, so he'll be getting some random emails and trying to figure out what's going on. So it's even better. He just said to send him emails, so I made up the topic.
Sounds good to me. I like it.
So, anyway, first 5, like I said last time, just because you might be watching this tomorrow or the next day, still might send an email because we don't have a ton of people watching this just yet, so it's pretty good chance you winning something. So on that, me and Ben are going to log off and go see what we can do with the rest of our evenings.
That's right.
All right. Thanks, Ben. You have a good one.
You too. See y'all next time.
See y'all later.